Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Look, I'm going to level with you. I have my own things to deal with. After all, we are about to have a lovely landing.
The Orphans, an original cinematic audio drama, is now available. And now, The Orphans Facility, an exciting new prequel series. Catch up with Season 1 with new episodes of Facility coming bi-weekly.
The following episode of Flame On is presented by the Nerdy Show Network.
Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse.
All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop.
Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination.
And with the generous support of listeners like you.
To learn how you can support this and other fine geeky programming, visit nerdyshow.com. What's going on, everybody? Pat DeVere here with another episode of Flame On. It is Microsode time, and we are ready to discuss new and exciting cinema that just came out in the movie theaters.
Whoa.
Come on, timely podcasting.
Yeah, right. This came out this past weekend.
Yeah, so this episode drops like a week after the premiere of the movie that we will be discussing.
Oh, wow.
And by we, I mean y'all, because I did not see this, but, you know, I'm doing my duties as host and as producer and engineer.
Do you want to see it?
Probably at some point in time. It wasn't something that gripped me today. And
what did grip you today?
My bed.
Or who?
Oh, I wish. It was more about the time change and us not going to bed until 4:30 this morning and then getting up.
So late.
Oh, God. The best was us standing at the Parliament House and going, oh, it's only 3:07.
Womp, womp.
And I was like, oh, shit. Never mind. Checkers is going to close in 2 hours. Get there quickly. But we are here to discuss the movie Onward. This is a Disney Pixar film. So here to discuss Onward is Eric.
Howdy.
BJ.
Excelsior.
And Joshua.
Hello.
Mr. Bobos, if you're nasty. So I am...
That should be my new sign-on.
I will leave it to you guys to really kind of talk about this, obviously, because I don't know much about it. I just know that there is a homosexual character.
There is.
Yep.
I heard it was for one scene, but he was apparently integral to the story.
She's in a couple scenes.
Yeah,
she's
in a couple scenes. Well, listen, I don't know. I saw it on Facebook.
I mean, she's not a major character.
It was one scene where I think she actually spoke, but
yeah.
Oh. Yes, background scenes don't count. So I'm going to leave y'all to your own devices, and I think the good, the bad, and the flame ratings should be how we go about this. What do y'all think?
Sure.
Agree.
Should we discuss the short at all?
Oh, shit. I forgot about that.
I thought it was a little awkward.
It was really weird.
It was super weird. It was so...
Because it wasn't even a Pixar short.
No, it was a Simpsons short. it was, they had a Simpsons short to open it, and it was super weird because you, like, honestly, even though I've totally watched The Simpsons on Disney Plus, it still does not occur to me that they are fucking owned by Disney now, and this is a thing that can happen. You can totally have Simpsons shorts pop up on top of, like, a Marvel short or Star Wars now. I didn't even think about that, but it was, I liked it. It was a nice little change of pace because I feel like having a very deeply emotional short like they've mostly been over the past couple years is a bit much, especially when it's a Pixar film and you know you're going to feel feelings during a goddamn Pixar film, a la Toy Story 3.
You didn't feel feelings about Maggie's love life?
I...
Absolutely not.
I thought I had feelings of Homer.
Wait, what now?
So the Simpsons short is essentially Marge takes Maggie to the park like every day, and she meets this other little baby boy, and they like have this weird sort of like that, like she's got a crush on another baby, and I can't remember what his name was. It was something really old. Like,
started with an H. I want to say it was like Harold.
It was like Harold or Herbert or something. Yeah. Something really old sounding. But, like, Maggie's, like, primping, walking through baby powder, puffed in the air. It's really cute.
She holds up two different design diapers, like, which dress she's going to put on today.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, but then Homer starts taking her to the park. So, of course, Homer takes her to the skate park for teenagers.
Because there's a taco truck at that park.
And it's a standard Simpsons, like, formula. Like, at one point, she grabs the steering wheel from him to turn to the actual, like, kid park, but it's cute. I thought I liked it, and the opening is Homer with two donuts and it looks like Mickey Mouse.
Oops.
And the entire theater like everybody was like, oh, huh? That's how awkward it was.
Wow.
We were like, oh, this is happening. That's right.
Wow.
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 Wow. But I thought it was cute, and it was a nice change of pace, and it was something light and breezy before I like had to put up my feeling shields, because after Up, the first 20 minutes of Up, Toy Story 3, and fucking which other one got me real?
Inside Out.
I mean, the movie was fantastic, but fuck that movie.
I've only seen one of those. No, I saw Toy Story 3. So I've seen two of those three. I didn't cry at either of those. Am I supposed to be? Am I horrible?
You don't have a heart.
Oh, that's fine. Oh. You're dead inside. No, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. But no, so for Onward, you've got Tom Holland as the main character, Ian Lightfoot. Chris Pratt as his brother, Barley Lightfoot. Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Did I say that? Louis. As the mom, Laurel Lightfoot.
She's a mighty warrior.
I didn't realize Octavia Spencer was the Manticore.
Yeah.
That makes that character even better. And then, like, a whole bunch of other
the
people.
The Manticore?
So I actually have a few tidbits of trivia regarding the four main cast members.
Oh, really?
Okay.
So this is Julie Louis-Dreyfus's first animated movie with Disney since 22 years, 1998, Bug's Life.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that movie.
This is also the first movie that Tom Holland and Chris Pratt have worked together outside of the MCU.
I knew that.
And Octavia Spencer, who is working with Tom Holland in this movie, has a connection to the Spider-Man franchise, not necessarily his, but in 2002 she made a cameo.
In what? Which Spider-Man was that?
2002, the first one.
That was was the first one really come out in 2002?
Yeah,
there's so many.
It was
Spider-Man.
2002, 2004, and 2007.
Oh,
anything about duck eggs?
No.
I was hoping that we could make that a running theme with your trivia for movies.
Duck eggs. I mean, I'll look for stuff. You like.
Octavia Spencer every morning had two duck eggs for breakfast on the set before she went on when she filmed her scenes.
When she made her shit pie in the Help, she used eggs from a duck. Just kidding. I found that was a decent way to wrap.
Did she use shit from a duck?
Yes.
But and then there's like some really random tidbits in here. Ali Wong is like one of the random officer creatures. And then you've got Tracy Ullman as the pawn shop owner.
That makes sense.
That
come on connection to the Simpsons short at the beginning.
I didn't realize that. Oh God! Since they bought Fox, they own Tracy Ullman now too. Can is anybody not owned by Disney at this point?
Me, no. I need them to give me lots of money to own me.
I mean, they own me, so I mean, maybe,
maybe.
I mean, our overlords are wonderful, and I am privileged to know them.
I love that we bounce around back and forth between talking about where you work to like the last time it came up. You're like, I'm not going to say who I work for. I'm like, it's just a game of
but,
like.
But they own everything.
Of hopscotch of whether or not we'd say it this episode.
Dude, the non-disclosure agreement for work is, it was 10 pages long. And it was like, if you even say the name of where you work, we can fire you now. Like.
They also own all your intellectual property that you come up with while you work there.
I did. I was. You know what? This is how nerdy I am. I was legitimately irritated because I'm like, what if I find a new insect species? Motherfuckers are going to be able to take that shit and stick it in a movie.
Yep.
And I'll get my middle name will be its name in the movie. And I'm like, motherfuckers. Like, I won't get a cent. I won't even get to voice the character. I'm sorry. But onward. To what we watched.
Oh, the movie. Gotcha.
Onward is the name of the movie.
So in the beginning, there was magic. And then people were like, that's too tough to use. Let's just make electricity.
That honestly
really is.
That is the opening to the movie. And you know what? Out of all like the deep, meaningful things they could do, that was fantastic.
Science.
Poetry in motion. Now, I will say that a friend of mine mentioned when he saw the trailer that he was like, I can't wait for the Rule 34 on the older brother. And for those of you that don't know what Rule 34 is, if there can be porn of it, there already is. Also see the can of Mountain Dew fucking a sandwich. But he was like, after we saw that movie, he was like, I don't want to see the Rule 34 in that anymore. I don't want to see that.
I mean, Barley was kind of cute for a
right?
animated troll looking elf. But can we talk about his dad though? His dad was kind of a yeah.
dad or stepdad.
The dead dad.
No, the dead dad.
Dead dad.
Dead dad.
Dead dad.
No, dad.
The
was...
stepdad is a centaur.
Dad was pretty fine.
Dad was kind of hot. Not gonna lie. What? That's just over
so,
here. Like, what are we talking about?
So the family dynamic is there's an older brother, a younger brother, a mom, and a dead dad. And the dead dad died while the younger brother was still in the womb.
Dad's dead!
He's fine. He sends your love.
Because it's a Disney-adjacent movie, so there has to be at least one dead parent.
Yep.
Yes, absolutely.
So,
sorry, I just had to go back to anytime I now hear anything about a dead dad, I think of Gidget Galore as Aunt Jackie in Roseanne Live, which played at the Parliament House recently.
Aunt Bev, dad's dead!
Dad's dead!
And if either of you haven't seen it, you're terrible human beings and you missed out.
So just BJ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw 5 showings of it.
I saw 2.
I saw 1.
Okay, very good. And a partridge in a pear tree.
Huh. He's fine. He senses love.
So the younger brother, Ian, is just an awkward, nerdy school kid.
Scared of everything. Like, scared of making friends. Scared of, like, answering questions. Just the boy scared. And you got his older brother who's, like, scared of nothing.
Well, what I found interesting about the dynamic is the roles kind of seemed reverse in most sibling-type stories. Normally, the older sibling is kind of embarrassed of the younger one.
Yeah, the older sibling's the straight man, and the younger one's like, I'm gonna dress like a butterfly.
And in this one, it's, you know,
well, 'cause
the reverse. Like, the younger one is kind of embarrassed by his older brother.
Well, typically, as a kid... kids really aren't afraid of anything.
They don't give a fuck.
And then it's usually when you're becoming an adult, that's when you're like, I don't know what to do.
Because you know of this thing now called consequence.
You hear that, Mom? Consequence. It doesn't stop when you get old. Anyway, sorry. That was shout out to Gail. Love you.
Little PSA.
So it's Ian's 16th birthday.
Yes.
He's now
16.
An adult-ish?
I mean, yeah.
Because the gift that the dad left.
Typically your, what?
Coming of age.
Yeah.
Age.
Because you've got between 13 and 16, depending on the religious implications between bar mitzvah and like sweet 16s, it's usually that coming of age time.
Oh, I was just going to say that's the time when nobody thinks you can do anything right, but everybody wants to give you all like all the responsibility so they don't have to do it.
It's like learn how to drive so you can go get a job.
Yeah, you moocher. Oh, yeah, he's terrified of learning how to drive.
Yep. Well, I mean, that's pretty normal for teenagers usually at first. Because, I mean, driving can be a big thing. You're interacting, you're controlling a machine and getting put into traffic with other machines. But also, it's just Florida.
Your body's a machine.
You mean
your skeleton's
operating a bone mech suit with meat armor?
Yeah.
You don't have a skeleton inside you. You're inside a skeleton.
You are a brain inside of a skeleton mech suit controlling
wearing
flesh armor.
But yeah, he's still got to learn how to drive. He makes a checklist of like life things to do, which is a little adorable, but also neurotic as hell.
Yes.
So what is the... So his dad leaves him the wand. I'm going with what I've seen from the trailer.
So the dad leaves a present to both brothers that is when to be given of them when they're of age.
Over
when
16.
Become of age.
Yes.
When they can both do porn together.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, I'm pretty sure if you Google it, you'll find it.
So probably. The requirement was both of them be, you know, over 16 or older.
Yes.
So now that Ian, being the younger brother, is of age, it's time for both of them to be able to receive the gift.
And it's a magic wand.
A wizard staff.
With a spell to bring the dad back to life for one day.
And the older brother tries to do it, but apparently he don't have the gift.
Which, there's the wizard staff and a phoenix crystal.
Ooh.
Which is the catalyst.
Ooh.
For the spell.
And it's shaped just like Jean Grey.
Yeah. For a split second, I like the way it's drawn on the little sheet of paper. I'm like, they could legally do that now. This is great. But well, and also the best thing is that Barley's obsessed with a D&D like game, but within the confines of the movie, it's like a D&D game based on actual D&D. History, which is effectively D&D.
Gotcha.
This is like our time if we were a fantasy world and people realized, you know, Centaurs are supposed to be able to run like 70 miles an hour.
You mean centaurs?
Centaurs?
Yeah.
Centaurs.
I think you're
not just
swords
are running.
I think you're a minotaur and a centaur. That's
senators are running 70 miles an hour.
That's Bernie Sanders can run 70 miles an hour.
It's a cinnamon bun with four legs with the body of a horse. But they're supposed to run 70 miles an hour, and their mom's boyfriend is a police officer, and like he can't run more than like 5 feet and
Colt
not get winded. Colt Bronco.
Oh,
did
I'm pretty sure I've seen a video starring Colt Bronco.
Did either of you notice that his cop car was a Ford Bronco?
Yes. Yes, I did. And
okay.
I made sure not to mention it because the visual gag made me gag a little bit.
He's a Bronco in a Bronco.
Yeah.
Okay, so the younger brother has the gifts.
So the older brother can't do the spell.
Yes.
And then they all think that, at least the dad tried.
Within the confines of the movie, it's like no one does magic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because at this point, ages have passed and we've all adapted
said,
to technology.
Yeah.
So, like, magic's almost not unheard of. Like, no, it doesn't exist anymore. You know, unicorns have gone from being these majestic flying creatures to these feral street things.
They're like, they're trash pandas, effectively.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So then later on, the younger brother, Ian, is just sitting there looking at the parchment paper and just starts reading the words, and the staff starts to glow. And so he keeps going, and then just, it's like a tornado of energy around the room.
And it's the spell like pushes him back, mm-hmm. and his brother goes in to help him, but he tells his brother no, because his brother's kind of a screw up. And the spell kind of fizzles and
halfway through,
and all it is the dad's legs and like this little glowing opening. And I'm just like, and it's weird because at some points in the movie you just forget their dad's like half there, and then you just see him like dancing in the background and you're like, what the fuck? Everybody has this reaction of like, ah.
So now that hijinks ensue, we don't want to give too much away. Obviously, we want people to go and enjoy this semi-cold, because, I mean, a lot of what you guys have talked about already has been what
the previews, trailer, yeah.
Yeah, the trailers have all kind of laid out for everybody. What, Eric, we'll start with you. What are your positive takeaways from the movie?
The emotional connection I personally had with it.
With Jean Grey?
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
Because she's my spirit animal.
Yes.
No, just because I lost my father kind of unexpectedly and didn't get a chance to say goodbye. And so if I could have one more day with him, that would be cool. So, yeah, just that emotional connection. But just the emotional arc that the two brothers go on, it's really well done.
Nice. BJ?
It was very much the kind of, once it gets into kind of the road trip part of the movie where with the brothers, and you have the younger brother who has this gift and he's like, it's terrifying, and then you've got the older brother who's just like, do more shit with it, and it's almost a perfect dichotomy between the two of them, because everybody's had, if anybody has siblings, they've kind of had, there's random moments with the two of them in the movie, and there are just moments in the movie where the stakes, like, it fluctuates. One minute they're like, oh, that's a really cute chase scene, and then the next minute you're like, oh god, he's gonna die, and then you're like, oh, okay, now it's funny again, but you're a little bit emotionally exhausted around the third act, because you're just like, okay, alright, let's just relax here. But yeah, no, the whole quest with both of the brothers was really good. And then the mom's kind of side quest with the Manticore was also was fantastic.
So before we continue on with the positives, speak to me about this Manticore. What is this? What's going on? You mentioned that Octavia Spencer is the voice of
Lion, Scorpion, Winged.
It's a Lion, Scorpion, I think Dragon. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lion, scorpion, dragon, which I think is a traditional manticore.
I don't think it's dragon, though.
Oh, okay. Well,
she said has ma'am.
Has wings.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, so
wings, a lion head, and a scorpion tail.
Did it drink a Red Bull beforehand?
She drinks actually, in that movie.
She drinks like two or three until the mom's like, you've had enough.
So the manticore in ages past used to set adventures on their quests.
Okay.
But now runs a Chuck E. Cheese, essentially.
Yeah, out of her old tavern. And it's great because she's like the manager of the place. And she did, like, and there's no, like, hidden thing about it. She's like, I do, but I'm not. And so then from there, hijinks ensue. But, yeah, no, that's Octavia Spencer's
She doesn't
character.
Send people on quests anymore because if they die, she could be held liable.
It is the head of a human, or well, traditional would be head of a human, body of a lion, tail of a venomous scorpion, but the wings of an Egyptian sphinx.
Oh.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Sphinx.
So they probably made her part dragon because she can breathe fire. Mm-hmm. Which is great.
Okay.
There's even a manticore like Chuck E. Cheese like
mascot,
which is hilarious.
Gotcha. All right. So manticore taken care of. Josh, what are your positive takeaways from the film?
So, I mean, there really isn't much to say without giving away any spoilers or to repeat what was already said, but...
Repeat them anyway.
I think...
It's what we do on the show.
I think what I took away most was the dynamic between the brothers, but there were just a few things that I noticed about each of them that seems a little different from the norm. You know, when it comes to sibling relationships portrayed in animation or any type of film or TV shows. So, but I liked the perspective that the story was going. And then if we ever, you know, give spoilers, I actually have prepared
all the spoilers.
Well, no, I've prepared a cliff note to actually discuss a couple points. But you know, they do involve spoilers, so.
Okay, well, maybe we'll do a little section after we do the could be improved section, so that way you guys can discuss them. We'll do a short little round of cliff notes. She got notes, y'all.
Gay notes.
She making sure.
Well,
gay notes.
So, I think with Ian, because he makes checklists and notes and stuff.
Uh-huh.
That is something that I try to do. I'm not always good at it because I forget, but. I do operate better with a list, so I have seeing him make one. I was like, you know what? I should do this, so that way I have an organized thought for some top talking points. But now
he's got his thoughts organized.
But now I can't use them.
Thought pocket.
All right, let's go back around the other way, Josh. What are some things that you thought could have maybe been improved? I don't want to say bad because I've heard overall really good things about the movie. But, you know, there's always little bits and pieces that you could see improved.
I guess, like, the first maybe half hour, well, I wouldn't say half hour, maybe, like, 20-something minutes, I was kind of, like, touch and go with interest. But I think that was only going at it at that time. You know, looking at it as a whole, I think the pacing was really well done.
So it didn't grip you initially, but all came around at the end for you. Okay. BJ...
He's talking about thoughts and gripping and coming around. I don't know what y'all are talking about. I mean, I haven't seen the Rule 34 pictures yet, but damn.
Just ask him if he has a place where you can put your stuff.
Hot pocket. So
that joke's never going to get old for me.
I hate you so much sometimes. I really do.
It's perfect. So honestly, my main... complaint actually is kind of not really the gay character, but just the fact that, like, she was there for all of 10 minutes. She did have a really good purpose in the story. I want to say I just kind of wanted more of her. I would have probably either like at the end of the movie there is a moment where some characters are like everybody's going out to like experience life and blah 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 blah. But I would have liked for her to have shown back up at some point. So I just wanted more of her. And it was one of those things where it's not so much a missed opportunity. It's just one of those things where I'm like, we just had 10, 11 seasons of a kids cartoon show with a married gay couple effectively on it. Well, they got married in the middle of it, Steven Universe. And I'm like, Disney can go in a little bit more. I feel like they've already dipped the toe with some of their TV shows, with some of their animated series, and they've dipped a toe with some of their movies, like LeFou from Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, yeah, and they're doing a prequel on that, too.
Yeah, they're doing a prequel
Unneeded.
On that. Unneeded, thank you. With Josh Gad and whoever played...
Luke Evans.
Yes,
yeah.
Luke Evans.
For Gaston.
So maybe we'll see them get a little bit more adventurous with it. And I get it. It's still got to be family.
And it's not even so much that. It's the Chinese market. That's because this is their cinema.
And world
worldwide market.
It's more worldwide market now is than it is domestic.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Because I mean, if it was just based off of domestic box office, I think they would not have the qualm to do as much. But when you have a market like China that will either highly censor or not show your movie and have it impact your bottom line. That's where they tend to get scared, which nothing ever changed with people were scared. So
yeah, it's true. Fear and all that. But other than that, I'm trying to think I think that was the only thing. Honestly, I just wanted more time with the side characters, okay. If anything, because I don't think there was a single character in the movie I didn't like. So my main complaint is actually I just wanted more of the side characters.
Okay. A little more side piece for you.
A little more side piece.
Eric, any improvements that you could think of?
Just kind of echoes BJ, where I didn't think that the side characters were very memorable.
Okay.
I mean, if that cop had not been homosexual, would she have stood out in any way, shape, or form to me? Probably not. Kind of the only side characters that stood out were probably the Pixie Biker Gang, which
were fantastic.
Because Pixies used to fly using their magic, but there's no magic anymore. So now Tinkerbell and her friends became the Hell's Angels.
Okay. Okay.
I can't wait for the cosplay from this movie. I honestly cannot wait for the cosplay, especially for the Pixie Biker Gang.
If you are enjoying this or any other content that we put out as Flame On, feel free to go follow us at flameonshow.com. And if you would like to help support our show, we are listener-supported entertainment. Head on over to patreon.com/flameonshow, and you can join at any of our four levels and help support us here at Flame On.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
All right, so we'll do a quick little round of some spoilery stuff. Now that we've gotten through pros and cons and what the movie's about, if you haven't seen the movie and you don't want to be spoiled, you can check out here. We'll say goodbye to you now. Bye-bye. Hi. It was good seeing you.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye-bye now. Bye. Bye-bye. Bye now.
Get the fuck out.
And we'll get Josh's list out.
You got your list out?
Done.
Just pull it out.
Whip it out.
Come on.
It's whipped out. Do you want me to start?
Oh. Give me the face.
Better watch out.
All right. Hit some spoilery topics, Josh.
Okay, so now I can actually talk. So
now she's like, okay, now I'm invested in this.
The
now
producer has no longer gagged us. We can say what we want in this
silence
medium.
Silence no more.
Y'all didn't use a safe word, so I kept the gags.
Banana.
So, right to start off with a small little thing. What I really kind of took notice of was when the brothers were floating down river on that big
Cheeto.
Ass fucking Cheeto.
Oh, the big cheese puff. I love it.
As Barley was telling the story about how he didn't get to say bye to his dad, you know, because when he went in, he was hooked up to all these tubes, and it was just really hard for him to see his dad like that. And so he kind of got scared and ran away and didn't get to say goodbye. And I find that this is very reminiscent to his storyline with Peter Quill in the MCU, because Guardians of the Galaxy 1, he was a kid.
Oh.
Right before he was abducted, his mom was in the same situation, hooked
yeah,
up to machines.
He saw her and he ran away.
Yeah. So I thought that was really interesting. But the thing that I really wanted to touch base on was, it seemed as if, like, on top of the brother dynamic that I was mentioning, it seemed like neither one of them had friends. Because you see Barley with absolutely no one except his family.
This is true.
And then Ian, you know, he's making himself a list to be bold and, you know, invite people from school over to his party.
Speak up. And
so you've got these brothers who have grown. I mean, they've spent their life together, obviously, but they're both very alone. You know,
Barley has Guinevere.
Well, yeah.
his van.
And I think that's kind of a thing that Barley has for himself to latch onto. He has his, you know, essentially D&D, you know, and he has his van, which he rebuilt from, I guess it was a family van or his dad's van, and then he took a bunch of stuff out and repaired it.
Yeah, actually, and I think that's by design, because usually, at least with a couple of my friends growing up, you know, if they had lost a parent or something, and they're close with their siblings, the family dynamic kind of like locks in the place, and they really spend a lot more time being with family and everything, maybe more so than normal. But the thing that you mentioned, that the like throughout the movie, Barley talks about having three memories of his dad that he can remember. And then the fourth one is the one of him in the hospital that he doesn't really like. He doesn't even really want to talk about it.
Right.
And then, you know, you have Ian that has that realization that he's done all the things on his list, but not with his dad, but with his older brother.
Right. And that, you know, got to me.
That smacked me in the face pretty hard. But the realization that his older brother might not have that many friends because he spent most of his time cheering his little brother on, being there for his little brother because his dad wasn't there.
Right. So, and that was actually a part that kind of hit close to me because, you know, I don't have like a really close relationship with my dad. You know, I didn't have it growing up, and I have four siblings, but I grew up as an only child, so I don't have that type of sibling relationship. So, you know, seeing them together and how they were there for each other growing up, you know, it like hit, because it's like, oh, like I never had that. But, you know, I see it so often that I feel it, you know, regardless.
Yeah, I was definitely my sister's Barley. I was 100% my sister's Barley. Except she wasn't nice like Ian. Kelsey, you weren't nice like Ian. You were a little asshole.
But I think what I liked the most was the direction, the way that the story was laid out.
Exactly, because like, you think it's just about the dad.
Yeah, and it really wasn't. But, you know, the story was told essentially from Ian's perspective. You know, you're following, you know, the journey from his perspective, and, you know, his desire wanting to meet his dad, not being able to ever do it. You know, you as the audience, you're like, oh, you know, I know it now that he's developed like half of his dad's body. You really want this journey to come full circle so you can get to see the dad, you know, be fully formed and you know, for that encounter to happen. But what I appreciated most was that it didn't.
Yes.
Because, you know, throughout the entire movie, the only time you ever see the dad is through a photograph. You know, and for the end, you know, for what happened with Ian, you know, taking that step back and giving Barley the opportunity to say bye, you know, he's looking from afar and you never saw the dad's face.
Yep.
And Barley is the only one that got to see him. But I think that type of direction, that, you know, the layout of the story for that, you know, that was solidifying, you know, you feel exactly what Ian feels and you see exactly what he sees. His only visual of his dad was a photograph. And even when his dad was fully, you know, formed, it still remained as a photograph.
Look at you. Big introspective.
I took a film class.
Oh.
Aperture, white balance,
framing,
flash, shutter speed,
cinematography.
But I like that, you know, we experience what Ian experiences throughout the journey.
BJ, any spoiler topics you wanted to dig into?
There was a part when we went to see it, there was something that, so Barley teaches Ian a hologram, like an illusion spell. But when you cast an illusion spell, you can only tell the truth. You can't lie at all.
Which is really interesting for...
Which is nice. It's a nice little twist because you're effectively fooling somebody visually. I can't remember the rhyme, but you're fooling somebody visually. So therefore, all you can do to fuel the spell is tell the truth. And when you lie, little bits of the illusion start disappearing, which is not... I really like that. But then when one of the cops looks at who they think is Bronco, teaching Ian how to drive, they're like, "Oh, I'm sorry you got stuck with that kid," and he's just like, "Oh no, Ian's great." She's like, "No, I mean the bigger one," and her being like, "Don't you think he's a screw up?" And when Ian's like, "No," a piece of the illusion falls off, and Barley's like front and center for that. And the entire theater goes, "Oh." Everyone in the theater made like a little noise, and then there's like, and there's just like one of those that to me, that moment in the movie is when my focus shifted from them trying to get the dad back to
their relationship,
and I really started to pay, because you don't really pay attention to it at the beginning, because at the beginning it's just a standard sibling relationship, but then you realize that. That was that one thing when Ian's casting the spell, if he had let Barley help him, he would have remained in place for the spell to finish. So it's Ian's fault that they had to even go on the quest in the first place. If he had let Barley help him, then we wouldn't have a movie. But it's just one of those moments where, because I immediately went back in my brain and was like, "Oh, this is all your fault, Ian, you little bitch." Like, and then I started to distrust the movie because with Inside Out, the main villain is Joy. Yeah, Joy is the main villain.
Spoiler alert.
Well, we're in spoiler territory.
And it's also kind of similar because, yes, our focus and kind of our avatar for this movie is Ian. We're going on a journey with him, and he's learning magic, so we're learning magic and all that. And Barley is just this screw-up character, but then about halfway through, and when he's kind of pleading with Ian to believe him and trust him, he's like, "You know, I want to see my dad, too." He's not treating this as a game.
Yeah. He's being serious in his own way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's and honestly, you don't even really think about that until it slaps you in the face. I want to say that's like right at the end of Act 2 for the movie, beginning of Act 3. And you're like, oh, he is thinking of this seriously. Like with the magic bridge spell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the little magic bridge spell. He's like, no, like he realizes his brother could fucking die if he doesn't believe. And so that was, yeah, that was when I would say that around that is when my shift completely focused on them, which pays off, I think, in the third act a lot.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
So, Eric, any specific spoilery topics you want to dig into?
Nothing that really hasn't been said. It's really all about the brother dynamic more so than the payoff of getting the dad back.
Okay. All right. So, of course, as we do with all films that we see, flame ratings. Eric, I'm going to start back down with you. We'll go down the couch. What flame rating would you give this?
I would say... 4.25 flames.
4.25. 7326. Got it. BJ, what would you give it as a flame rating?
I'm going to give this one a 4.9 out of 5.
Oh, so close to perfect.
This was close to perfect for me.
Very nice. Joshua, flame ratings.
I'm always so conscious about my flame ratings just because you always give me shit about them. So I'm trying to be like a little more objective. First viewing, I'm going to do 4.7.
Nice. 4.7, a 4.9, and a 4.25. Apparently, Eric didn't like it as much as everybody else did.
It was horrible.
Burn the screen.
He hated the movie. She's a witch. Burn her.
Burn her.
No, I'm sorry. She's a witch and a liar. Twice. Burn her.
Do you like butter? Do you want to live deliciously?
I will say that movie was a little, like, there were some scenes that were stressing me the fuck out.
The witch?
No.
Oh.
Onward.
Onward?
Yeah. The gelatinous cube.
Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. Like, everybody, he kept talking about the goddamn gelatinous cube.
And then it appeared.
Do you think they paid Dungeons and Dragons?
Well, so I stayed through the entire credits. They actually had a thing at the very bottom of the credits that said, the gelatinous cube, property of... I didn't get to read the full name when I finally noticed it, but I know that the gelatinous cube is a thing in D&D.
Yeah.
So.
You're not supposed to know anything about D&D.
Okay, so I still don't know anything about D&D, but I know, once again, I know of this because of a pop figure. Because they have a Dungeons and Dragons line, and at Emerald City Comic Con in Chicago, they for this year they have a gelatinous cube pop, and I never understood what it was until this movie.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, oh, that's what that is. Okay, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I think Lauren was like cackling. it was like everybody in the theater's like, oh crap, there it is, right there.
So that is Disney Pixar's Onward. Go check it out in your local theaters.
Dungeons and Daddy Issues.
And if you have an AMC A-list, I would definitely recommend seeing it in Dolby. Because the sound
is
beautiful.
Phenomenal. And we weren't even in the fancy theater. Were you in the fancy theater?
I was in Dolby.
Oh, she fancy.
My seat vibrated and everything.
She already know.
Are you sure that was your seat?
I was ready to rumble.
Join us back here in two more weeks. We will be doing our final in-person roundup with all of us being in the same location.
He's abandoning us, y'all.
And then
have to get a bigger table.
We actually might have, if it all works out properly, we may not be taking any time off, even though I will be moving in the month of April.
Slave driver here.
We may have some tricks up our sleeves in order to produce some new content throughout the month of April. There will not be a roundup, though. I will tell you listeners that if you are interested to know now, we will not have a roundup in the month of April. But there may be new Flame On content coming your way in April as well. So stay tuned. Thank you, gentlemen, for discussing the movie.
The Witch? No, Onward.
Can I slap him?
Please.
Do it. Oh,
that's so hot.
Pussy slap.
Thank y'all for joining us, and we will be back in 2 weeks. And until then,
good night. Bitch.
Bye.
Excelsior.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.